Hi, you're listening to SheShield, your one-stop pod for all topics personal safety. I'm your host, Sophia, and my goal is to help educate women and men on concealed carry, martial arts, and all topics self-defense. Before we start this episode, please take a moment to rate the podcast. This is usually located at the bottom or top of the page. I know on Spotify, it's at the top. It's just stars. And if you could take 2 seconds to do that, that is how this podcast gets found by others. So thank you so much if you've already done that. And if you're new here, welcome. We are happy to have you. This episode is sponsored by Big Tech's Ordnance, your soon-to-be favorite retailer for all of your firearms needs. BTO believes in only selling high-quality gear for responsibly armed citizens, as well as providing pre- and post-sale support. BTO values firearms training and supports firearms instructors nationwide. They even pay for their staff to train with high-level instructors to ensure that when you as the consumer reach out, you are taken care of. Today is part two of the Hunter Constantine episode. Thank you so much for coming back for a part two. If you have yet to listen to part one, I highly recommend you go and listen to that first so that you can learn who Hunter is, as well as some incredible information on his story, how he got into competition shooting, and some tips for people in the competition shooting world. Thank you so much for continuing to listen, and let's get into it.
Life is all about balance, you know?
Hell yeah.
I think that'd be a good segue to talking about shooting and practicing.
Yes, okay, please. So go for it.
That's kind of where I categorize my range sessions, and where I have some range sessions where I'm practicing, some range sessions where I'm shooting. And the biggest difference is like your intended purpose of what you're going to the range for. Practice, I am working on skills and fundamentals that I pulled from a match, and I'm focused on something very specific and certain metrics that I'm working towards, where shooting is just like mag dumping into trash and having fun. And I think a lot of people think they're practicing, but they're really just shooting. And that I see it a lot when people set up a full stage for practice and they run through that stage 12, 14 times or whatever it is, you know, and they're like, this is a good practice session, but it's like, what did you really accomplish? Mm. You just shot a stage. That's fun. That's just shooting. Like I have my FFL SOT and stuff, so I've got machine guns in the safe and everything. And so like, I absolutely love just having a big, big thing full of ammo, loading up mags and just dumping them into targets or whatever we're doing. And it's just fun. Machine guns are great. Mm-hmm. It's just a good time. But it's about the balance between the two, where I definitely probably fall more into the practice session of sides just due to time constraints right now, where I'm like, okay, yeah. I have time to shoot. I should go do it. But even on days where it might be that day where I don't want to go practice, but I'm open to still go shooting. Like my desire might be like, you know what? I am going to go to the range with 300 rounds and I'm only going to do plate racks today. And that's a little bit of a blend. Cause like I'm sure you're picking up some stuff, but you know, I'm just like, in my mind, I'm like, I'm just having fun. Like, I don't care if I miss a plate. I'm going to try to do a sub-2 plate rack or faster, whatever it is. Or maybe I'm just going to go have a day of build drills because build drills are fun. You know, maybe try some different distances out. But I might not have that intention set for the practice that I'm doing or have necessarily like an actual purpose behind it where, like what we mentioned earlier with the matches where you recognize where you had some shortcomings and where you can, like, it's like low hanging fruit for you. Like for me, it was the moving steel. Or like my reloads were kind of sloppy and like that can be fixed in dry fire. So I was like, there's no reason I should have a sloppy reload on a stage. Like that is inexcusable. And so just making sure that you're going to the range with purpose, with intention. Like I try to think of the drills that I'm going to go shoot for whatever skill set I'm working on before going to the range. Like, so it's not impromptu. So I was like, I need to do this and I can do this drill for that. And I can do that. And I have this drill for that and just kind of play with it. And it's not really a set specific set of drills. It's just, as you start shooting more and shooting more matches, you can just kind of set up your own drills that will replicate whatever you need to practice. But that's a big distinction of getting better at shooting is having that purpose behind the gun. And that was my first year shooting like 150 matches. That was all purposeful shooting because I'm shooting matches. And I probably had I had less practice rounds downrange than I had match rounds downrange. You know, and because I'd only practice like it'd be like post match, and I'm just like messing around on stage for a couple mags or something like that on a single target. Like I'm like, oh, I need to. I don't know. I didn't even know what I was working. I didn't have the vocabulary to articulate what I was practicing at that time. I just knew I needed to do that to get better. Like I was shooting doubles, but I didn't know it was called a doubles drill. You know, but
I see.
Figuring out how to track my sight without knowing that that's what I was doing. I just knew that like, oh, my sights, like my red dot is moving all over the target. I'm like, I have to figure out how to keep that dot to come back down to the same spot. So I just go out there and start like messing with my grip or trigger press. And then I just kind of like, you have a eureka moment and then you need to like hold on to that. You need to capture it and make it part of you, because figuring out how to do it right is a light bulb moment that if you know how to replicate is just going to excel you so fast. And so a lot of people, when they first start shooting out, they're just going through the motions, drawing their gun, going through the targets, going through the minutiae of it, but not focused on what they're actually doing. Shot calling is a great exercise to improve that. So you shoot a target, and then if you're practicing with somebody, you have another target like where you're shooting at, and you point where your shots are on the target, and then you go compare it. If you want to get like, it's a little bit slower, but like you can literally draw it on the target if you want, you know, or put a paster on where you think that you hit. But we'll usually just point it. And I'm usually only doing that for like Charlies and Deltas if I get them, you know, or like I have a Charlie like 2 inches outside of the right side of the alpha zone, like a third of the way down the target or something, and figure out where that's at. And when you can start that shot calling process, just helps you stay in focus, because now you know, you're wagering with yourself or your friend if you did it right or not, you know. And it's a hard skill. It's one of the last skills I think that people acquire shooting, but once you can start shot calling, it'll make you so much more accurate, because you just understand what's going on with your gun. And I'm calling the shots just based on the recoil of the gun. So like how that gun feels in my hand and what my sight did looking through it, I have a good idea of where my round was on the target. Rather than, I used to think shot calling was literally like looking at your target and seeing the hole. And I was like, these guys are shooting, you know, 0.15 of a second. How are they seeing their hole on the target at 15 yards? I'm like, oh, you're not actually seeing it. You're feeling it, right? You know, and just on like the reaction of your gun.
I have a question about that. When I started shooting, I was really lucky to have Chris Long of Walther. Actually, it was the first time I shot the PDPF. We did a shot calling exercise. And so having that like super early on was interesting. As far as how that applies to USPSA, I almost feel silly asking this, but I'm just going to go for it.
Yeah.
Is that
no stupid questions?
I appreciate that. It's a good reminder.
Yeah.
Is that to kind of prevent over, what is it called? Not over calling. Yes. Over confirmation.
Oh, yeah. Yes and no. It definitely helps build confidence. I guess just in short, yes, it does. It prevents overconfirmation.
Can you define that for people that don't know what that is, please?
Yeah, overconfirmation is keeping your gun on a target after you shot it to confirm with yourself that whatever you shot was correct or accurate. And so for a lot of people, especially red dot shooters, they will shoot and wait for that dot to return to the same zone that they were shooting. So they will fire, they'll watch the dot leave the window, come back into the window, and they like pause for just like a portion of a second, a fraction of a second of just that, like, okay, my dot returned to the same spot, I can move now. When it should really be happening before the gun's coming all the way back down to target, you should be able to feel how it's moving in your hands. Where like I also believe in shooting the same platform until you've mastered your skill level, because you get to really understand what's like, you get to understand what's going on because you have so many rounds through the gun. Like I've shot the M&P9 now for like 4 years. I probably have 250,000 rounds through it. Absolutely love the gun. but I can shot call better than any other gun because I know that gun inside and out. It's an extension of my body. When my hands grip it, like everything's just locked into place. It's good to go. And it translates to other guns, but I have a lot of friends that chase splits or chase accuracy by switching platforms frequently, like every 3 to 6 months. They're like, I just need to get this steel frame gun and I'm going to be a better shooter. You know, yeah. Actually, this has a better grip angle, and that's going to help me acquire my sights faster on target. Mm-hmm. And all that stuff doesn't matter. All the guns on the market right now are phenomenal. Like, there's a couple bad guns, but generally speaking, they are all awesome. And they're reliable, and they have good triggers in them or options to put good triggers in them. So, like, whether you're shooting a PDP, like the PDP dynamic...
Q5?
What's the trigger frame? Called?
Oh.
The dynamic trigger.
I should know this.
Whatever it is. But like the dynamic trigger and the Walthers, the Panic Rival triggers, the Apex M&P triggers, the Shadow triggers on the CZ guns, like they are phenomenal. Like I would argue they rival like 2011 and 1911 triggers in a striker fire platform. But just whatever, like you don't need new gear to compete well. Like I've seen guys come through with a Springfield XD that just absolutely shred. Because that's the gun they're used to shooting, and that's the gun they know. And once you've mastered it on one gun, it's easier to translate it to another gun and figure out where you need to put the pressures on the grip or like how the sights track. But stick with one platform, understand it inside and out, and understand exactly how that gun feels. Like I'll know just on how my slide's moving when I need to replace the recoil spring. Just because it's like, oh, wow. This feels a little bit snappier. I'm like... And I'll play a game. I've played this game with some shooters here in Tucson where I keep literally just a bag of recoil springs on deck at all times. Because
nice. Okay.
I shoot a lighter spring and the M&Ps don't like when it gets too light. And I'll play a game now where I am basically calling how many coils my recoil spring has shrunk based on how it feels.
Wow. So that's pretty cool.
That's been a recent game, but it's like, nice. Okay, I bet this is like a coil and a half, and then I'll take it out and then compare it to a fresh spring. I've been pretty accurate, not to my own horn, but pretty good just based on feel. And, but again, it's just understanding that platform and translating that to the shot calling, just helps you understand where those hits are. And then the next part of that is why. Why did your shots go there? What input did you have on the gun that caused that to happen? Which is the hardest part to fix because once you know how to self-diagnose, things will get easier for you shooting wise.
Yeah.
But even still, there's times where I'm questioning myself shooting where I'm like, was that my grip or was that my trigger? I don't know. Was I staring at my dot and not target focused? And like, you got to play these games with yourself, but the more accurately you can self-diagnose yourself, the better it's going to be with your results on target.
And so absolutely. There's a
few different things that go into that, but that's basically it in a long extended description of everything.
No, hey, okay. I really appreciate all of this. So I just went to the Taurus Range Day experience this past weekend. Okay. First time ever shooting Taurus. It was Caleb Gittings' goal to kind of get people like me and actually Tessa Booth went as well. And to be like,
she's in Arizona now, isn't she?
Yes, she is.
Yeah, I think she is.
Yeah. Yes. Oh my God. Yes. I don't know why I doubt myself. She's moved a lot. So my brain's like, wait, hold on. But, yes, it's on her page for sure. And it was like our first time shooting Taurus, but we also had the, opportunity to train under Citizen Defense to research. And we went over a lot of fundamentals because the class, like spread of skills was so, are you there? Okay, cool.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, you're fine. The class spread was pretty extreme. So going back to fundamentals on grip was insane. Like I almost felt embarrassed by the things I learned. Like I'm not even joking. The getting my hand like behind the grip and not just focusing on like lateral pressure, but like in the front and back plane. Oh my God. I like never truly tested that with like, with the skills tests that we had, and it was so eye-opening. And I was able to, like, because we weren't moving, we were just standing and shooting. I haven't done a lot of static shooting in a while, and I desperately needed it. Didn't realize I did as much as I did until we did it. But what you just said was a really good reminder to, like, take that time, think about, like, where your deficits are, make a plan. And also for round count, I don't know if you, like, think about and plan this out, but do you ever plan what you're going to work on and then say, like, I need at least a 200 rounds for this training, or, like, maybe I'm going to conserve ammo, so I'm going to do, like, this much dry fire combined with live fire?
When I was first starting out, I was more conscious of that. But now I've made it a point to have just copious amounts of ammo. Shout out to Dylan Precision right behind me.
Ayo.
But, like, this press right here, this is my first press, fully set up. I was in for, like, about $1,000. Not bad. This probably has 100,000 rounds on it. And it's an older press. Okay. I bought it used. And then I've got, and please, everybody who's watching this on video, disregard my messy workstation right now. This one's fully automated now.
There's
a big motor on it and everything. And I've got videos on YouTube explaining some of this stuff, so we don't need to get heavy into it. But I have an ammo manufacturing plant right behind me. And so ammo, it's cheaper, it's better, it's more accurate, so I can shoot more of it. And I thought, I'm like, oh, I'm going to have a reloading press, I'm going to save so much money. And it turned out you just shoot more because you have it on hand. And so now, like, I preload, like, I've got, oh, that's too heavy for me to grab. There's, like, 5 gallon buckets of processed brass right here.
Oh, yeah, that'd be heavy.
Tons of projectiles. Yeah. I think I got tons of primers and powder and stuff like that, but a load. And now when I go and practice, I shoot until I'm unfocused. So there's some days I've shot, and this is going to sound crazy, but, like, I've gone out and shot 1500 rounds of just drills nonstop. And I'll bring like, luckily the M&Ps are cheap. I'll bring, like, 3 or 4 M&Ps with me, because it gets so hot in the Arizona sun that I don't, like, heating up your gun is going to be more detrimental than a higher round count. And, like, that's why guns fail, is them heating up. More so with rifles, it kind of applies to pistols.
Okay. But
either way, I like to swap them out just so they don't get too hot. You know, like, maybe, like, 4 or 5 mags of, like, repetitive shooting. Not, like, if you're 4 or 5 mags of, like, one shot draws, you're probably fine. But, like, if you're hammering some fast stuff and, like, a lot of repetitions of things. But anyways, I just end up shooting more. And so some days I'll go out there, 1,500 rounds. Nailing it, love it, it's great. Other days, I'm 200 or 300 rounds in, and I'm like, I'm unfocused, I'm going to leave. Because, again, it's keeping with, like, the purposeful training and the focused training and making sure that those rounds count. Because at a certain point, I'll just get into shooting, or I'll recognize that, like, my practice has now shifted into just shooting. And I'm like, what do I want to do? And I'm like, we'll do some build drills. We'll do, I don't know, some, like, little fun drill where I recognize that I am not practicing anymore.
Mm.
And then I usually will leave the range shortly after that, because in my mind, I'm like, I'm wasting ammo. Like, I'm having fun, you know, whatever, again, the balance, but I think, like, if you're limited with your, like, if you're down to, like, 1,000 rounds a month, you know, and you want to get into competition shooting, the average match is, like, let's say it's 150 rounds a match, you know, you have 2 matches to shoot, 300 rounds, you have 700 left for the month. And I'd probably divvy that up into, like, around 170 per practice session for 4 practice sessions. So you get, like, 1 practice a week, 1 match a week, or sorry, 1 practice session a week, 1 match every 2 weeks, and pre-planning your drills of what you're going to do for that. And then if you get to a point where your budget allows you to have more ammo, or if, like, I miss those rebate days on, like, Federal's website where you get 9 for, like, 13 cents a round. It seems like a dream world now, but I'd also recommend bulk buying with your friends. So, like, if you're shooting, you probably have friends that shoot, and you can nothing stopping you from hitting up an ammo distributor and saying, like, hey, like, if, you know, if you have 4 friends and you each want to buy 5,000 rounds, and you call a distributor and say, I want 20,000 rounds, it's usually enough for them to say, okay, they don't care. You don't need a license. I mean, in California, I think you do, but, like, in all the great free states of this country, you could just hit him up and buy the ammo, and it's no problem. And so I used to save money that way when I first started shooting, where I'd try to collect all my friends together, and we would try to get, you know, a 20,000, 50,000 round thing. And you know, you might save 10, 20 bucks, maybe 30 bucks per thousand, but it adds up where,
oh yeah,
you know, if you're, if you know that you're going to shoot and you have the capital for it, have at it and save a little bit of money. And then I always tell people just to make the jump into reloading if you know you're going to be doing this for a while. And it's not just going to be like a temporary hobby, because I'm like right now, I think I'm loading for like 17 cents around, 18 cents around. So it's more expensive than it was, but still cheaper than factory. And it's better bullet. Shout out to Dylan Precision. But it's minimum power factor, 147s. They work great in suppressors as well, which is fun. And
We can tag them in the show notes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're great. There's other companies that make minimum power factor ammunition if you want to try it out. It's a little bit pricey compared to regular factory ammo, but like Badlands Munition, Jello Shots, Hops Munition. I don't know. It seems like every day there's a new ammo company popping up with minimum power factor ammo, but it's fun to try it, especially if you're taking this seriously, because you will shoot this ammo and be like, you are cheating. And I'm like, no, I'm in the specifications of USPSA, but it does help. And it does take that recoil impulse away. It does not fix your bad fundamentals, but it will help. It'll help you stay on track.
Right.
And so it really depends, and just understand what you can afford. And if you need to pre-plan it. And if you have the luxury of just going out and shooting whatever you want, just make sure that you're not just blasting ammo and wasting it and trying to make it useful. Like, I'd rather save my like blasting ammo and mag dumping ammo for when I have a machine gun out or something. Or like I took a bunch of my business partner Chase guided these guys from Australia who have an overland channel all throughout the United States, like California, Utah, Arizona. When they came to Arizona, we blocked off half a day, and I first gun they ever shot, full auto M16. You know, like
that's
just
incredible. Yeah,
it's fun, and like I'd rather save that ammo for like that experience for them, where they're probably gonna remember that for the rest of their lives.
We're
like,
oh, absolutely.
They just pulled up. They couldn't fathom just pulling up to a random spot in the desert out here and then just shooting a machine gun. They're like, what? Like, their Australian minds could not handle it.
Right.
And like we had some other fun guns out there and stuff too, but I think it's just important to make sure that you're mindful of what you're doing with your ammo. So if it's limited, you know, I dry fire the drills you're gonna practice if you're limited to your practice sessions as well. So like Ben Stoger and like Wansick and Joel Parks, they have awesome drills online that are free. A lot of their classes are just free on YouTube if you want to take the time to sit down and listen to them and watch them. There's a lot of great instructors around the country, though. A lot of great shooters that also do training and stuff like that. Joe Farewell has a full dry fire program, which is awesome. So if you don't know how to dry fire, he has a free segment of the first basic part. So like, if you don't know how to do it, you just go watch his video for free, and he teaches you. And it's very intuitive and everything like that. But you dry fire the drills you're going to practice, and then you get to confirm it with your live rounds for practice. And then you get to get some other metrics from the match that you shoot if you're limited to like that 1,000 round a month thing, which is like, you know, 200, 250 bucks a month, give or take. Or if it's less than that, you just adjust it, you know. But you can get a lot done with dry fire, and you don't need to be shooting.
Are you in search of top-notch gear that exceeds your expectations? Look no further than GPS, brought to you by Go Outdoors Incorporated. GPS has been dedicated to crafting the finest products for hunting and shooting since 2002. As someone who frequents the gun range, my GPS bag is a staple to safely and effectively haul my gear. Their specialized bags are designed to keep all of my valuable equipment secure and organized. With GPS, you can experience the ultimate peace of mind. There are three exciting product lines: GPS Tactical, GPS Wild About Hunting, and GPS Wild About Shooting, provide the perfect solution for your specific needs. So whether you're on a hunting expedition or hitting the range, GPS is your reliable companion. To choose a bag that fits your needs, use code SHEETSHIELD at checkout to save and to support the pod. That's SHEESHIELD at checkout.
Yeah, absolutely. That's wonderful. And just because, you know, I do believe in the product, not just because I work for them. Livefyre is an app for this as well. So Mike Seeklander has
Shout out.
He has a course for getting started with dry fire. I think it's, and then he also has a dry fire challenge. So it's a step-by-step thing. And then you can use the in-app logbook and par timer to kind of track everything, which is really like helpful. That. So pretty cool. The community is so helpful too, like throwing up questions in the, on the feed.
There's like forums and people can answer them and everything.
It's actually its own social platform.
Cool.
Right when Instagram started, kind of Meta in general, started censoring things a lot more recently, we switched our focus from training to kind of social, and then we maintained training on the side. So now it's like a 50-50 split.
Awesome.
And the social side is completely free. The only thing you have to pay for is the training, because we believe in training our paying our instructors. So we have like Langdon Tackle on there and JJ Ricazza. Some really great names.
Awesome.
So you should hop on there too. We just released instructor.
I was answering, or I was talking to myself in my head being like, I'm going to check this out after the podcast, just because.
Absolutely. Just let's like have a post show chat about that. Some stuff we can talk about for you.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Like specifically you, but yeah, if anyone's interested in that, I will be sure to link it in the show notes along with the other resources you mentioned. Yeah,
it's all great. There's so many good resources out there. And there's so many knowledgeable people that it is. This is literally the best time to get into shooting.
Yeah.
Of like, I'd argue like any other time, because you can find a lot of the information out there. And it's just, it's cool. Like I was self-taught for a lot of stuff. And I didn't even know how to look it up. I didn't even know what to search to get started, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like in 2019 there wasn't as many podcasts either, so like it wasn't reaching as many people. Like I remember listening to like Tim Heron's podcast and like some Three Gun podcast, but like there wasn't a lot on competition shooting or just people interviewing shooters for that much. And so now it's amazing that you have this resource for people that they can tune in and listen, learn some stuff, hear about snacks, hear about shooting and stuff like that.
So important.
But it's just, it's a great time to be a new shooter.
Completely
like,
agree.
I'd be very excited if I were you right now, because you have, you have like big gains to make right off the bat. And like the chart is like this very steep line. And then once you hit a certain point, it gets a lot, like a lot shallower of an angle. I'm blanking on a word.
Less steep.
Less steep. What's the opposite of steep?
Oh my god.
What's wrong with us?
A steep curve versus a
not steep curve. I don't know what it is. This is gonna bug me so much. We're not this dumb, okay?
No, it's because sometimes. So like slope. Slope is a continuum, so you have negative positive slope, so you're you're just saying a less positive slope. Like that's mathematically like accurate.
Like a shallow slope. I feel like shallow. Anyways, whatever it is, it doesn't matter.
It's fine.
Someone correct us, make fun of us on Instagram in our stories, and tell us what the right word is.
Do it.
If you made it this far, hats off to you. Are you looking it up?
Google doesn't even know. What do you call a slope that is not steep? Selected answer is gentle slope.
Gentle slope.
That's definitely not what I was...
You will have a steep slope, and then you'll hit a point where you'll have a gentle slope.
Exactly.
Of progression.
Yeah,
that's... Yes. And that's the official Google answer.
Yeah.
But...
Sorry. Other words are flat, level, easy, gentle, gradual, moderate, slight.
I think moderate would have been good.
I like slight. Moderate.
Moderate seems official and scientific.
Gentle feels condescending.
Yeah. It's like, hey, buddy. Okay.
Yeah.
Settle down.
Kind of rude.
Settle down. How you doing? Okay.
Don't talk about my gentle slope. You're a gentle slope.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I love it. That should be your coupon code for people for the belts.
Oh yeah.
We haven't talked about them yet, but
it's on my list. Don't worry.
Yeah. But we'll probably, Gentle Slope. Use code Gentle Slope at checkout. It honestly can be anything. It could be She Shield.
I think we should do Gentle Slope.
Okay. I'm game for Gentle Slope.
Because if people are going to listen to this, there's this podcast I listen to called My Favorite Murder. And it's so good. It's true crime, but it's more like storytelling as opposed to like people just jabbering the whole time. I love those two, but every episode title is a joke from the episode. So you have to listen to the episode to learn where the title came from.
Ooh.
And it's hilarious. It's like a little like, I don't know. It's like a little, not puzzle piece, but you know, game you play when you listen, you're like listening for the title. So, I love that. I think that is hilarious.
Gentle Slope. That's what it is. Free shipping off the belts.
Hold exactly.
Let me get a belt so we can talk about it.
Yeah, please do. I was about to say this is a perfect segue into kind of how you balance things for concealment.
Yes. Okay. Boom. Okay. Here it is. Constantine carry belt. It's all form. For those of you who are only listening, I'm holding a EDC belt that incorporates a stretchy material and a rigid scuba webbing front that allows you to conceal carry with comfort. Constantine conceal carry belt.
Exactly. But,
it has been way more popular than I thought. There are thousands of these on the market now. And I made this belt because I didn't find anything comfortable and I found myself not carrying. And I think it's important for us as American citizens to support the Second Amendment and exercise your rights. And you should be carrying everywhere that allows you to. And if this wasn't a recorded podcast and it wasn't me speaking and this was a hypothetical, you could carry everywhere you want as long as you're not a little, I don't want to swear. I was going to swear, but we're going to keep it PG.
You can. I've sweared like 5 times, so it's fine.
Oh, okay. Well, you can carry in all 50 states if you're not a little bitch. Okay. So, but one thing that's great about this belt is that you can wear it without belt loops. So like Brittany's worn it in dresses.
Yes.
I think she talked about it when she was on here a little bit, like competing in dresses and stuff. But like leggings and stuff like that too. I'm usually in, like I'm in joggers right now, like joggers or athletic shorts. And I found myself not carrying or doing off body carry, which is not fast, or like it can be fast if you practice enough, but I'm inherently lazy. So I don't practice drawing out of a fanny pack or backpack. So I want to make a belt, solves all your problems, and it's comfortable. And so you can wear this belt all day long. There's no hot spots on your hips, your lower back, or anything like that. I've carried like big 2011s with spare mags and flashlights and stuff. So it can hold like 4.5 pounds of gun in place, no problem. And it's the most comfortable belt on the market. And it's probably bad on my business part, but I over-designed these to last like seven. My expected life on these belts are like 7 to 9 years.
Damn.
And so I have a prototype and the elastic is going on 5 years old now and still has the same stretch that I had, or similar. But I had that belt for three-ish years, 2.5-ish years. I don't actually have an exact date, but somewhere in that time frame before I even brought the belt to market. Because I was testing it. I had some close friends test it. And some similar concepts came out during that time, but just not executed as well. And so there's a piece of metal strip in the front of this. So like I could bend this belt and it'll stay bent. Well, there's some good light. But what that does is that allows you to, it kind of bends to where your gun is, bends to where your hip bones are. So this like form fits to the front of your body. And then the stretch does everything it needs in the back of it. And so it's awesome. I compete in this belt. Sometimes accidentally when I forget my competition belt, I'm like, oh, we're going concealed today.
Ooh, yeah.
But I have found myself carrying more frequently just by switching to a more comfortable belt, because I was having issues with some of the ratchet systems and some of like the heavier leather belts where my hips would just be on fire by the end of the day. And like, I'd get like lower back pain or like psoas muscle pain and stuff like that. And I realized I wasn't concealed carrying because I wasn't comfortable. And so I was like, there's a solution right there. And I bought competitors' belts before I developed this that I thought would solve the problem, and it didn't. So I was like, all right, I just have to make it myself. And then I think a lot of people bought the belt at first just to like support me, because like they just, it's like always support your homies, like buy right. friends with gun companies. Like I don't ask for free product from them or anything. It's just like you go support them, you know, that's what you do for your friends. And I think people did that at first with when I dropped the belt, and they're like, oh wait, this thing's actually really nice. I'm like, yeah, that's the whole point. And so it's just awesome. Kind of grown in popularity a bit. And we have, if you just see the word belt on people's Instagram posts, it's probably this belt.
Absolutely. So
it's been fun. And I've gotten an overwhelming amount of responses from people that told me their success stories with the belt, which, and I've worked in the industry for 4 years now. And I've worked on all sides of it, like, you know, dealing with influencers, you know, myself looking for product, dealing with sales for companies, newsletter copies, product photography, whatever, you name it, I've probably done it. And the number one emails I'd get is people, or from other companies that I worked with, is people complaining. Something didn't work. Yeah. They're not happy with something. And this is the first time out of any of the industries that I've worked in where I have people emailing me, telling me what, like how much they like the belt and their, how they're carrying more, or how it solved X or how it solved a certain issue for them. And that, it just makes me feel so special that I have that large of an impact on somebody's day-to-day life, all with like a little piece of elastic and scuba webbing, you know. And it's, yes. it's really cool to see, and it makes for a safer country and safer communities and environments. And so, I'm going to keep moving them and getting people to wear them, because the more you conceal carry, the safer the community is going to be. Wholeheartedly believe that, you know?
Absolutely. And, oh, yes. So I'll add to that, yeah. if you don't mind. I just got mine in the mail the other day. Thank you. Awesome. I'm so excited. I have yet to fully test it out. I got it in the mail right when I got back from the Taurus event, and I think that was, I want to say that was Sunday, and today is Thursday. And I just, so far I've worn it with my Filster Enigma to give more, retention in like the front to back plane. I've yet to test it out with a holster hooked to it, and I've yet to wear all day. I'm really excited to like really give it a good test, but my initial impressions are definitely the comfort. It's one of a kind. It's like a good marriage, you know, the perfect balance of good, give and take. And I also just like, it's pretty obviously high quality. Like I didn't mean pretty in the sense that kind of, I mean, like, you know, it is absolutely, high quality material. And, I like, the measurement options and the customizability fit to yourself. That's really important to me. I wear my firearm in a different location based on like how high up my pants go. So having that versatility is really nice. So I can speak to that right now. I'm excited to give it some more, to test it some more. And
And that's why I put really that universal slider on the back. For those of you listening who can't see, the belts can be adjusted. There's going to be four sizes now by the time the podcast comes out, but it's all ranges. Oh, wonderful. So like 34 to 30, 32 to 42, 36 to 48. Okay. And then, the big sexy size, which is, I think it's going to be 44 to 54.
Very sexy. And,
big, big, sexy belts. But it allows you to adjust it. So like if I'm, there's also a couple different ladder loops on here. So if I'm going from, wearing it in belt loops to not belt loops, I'll just simply adjust, the tension by moving the hook over on the next loop. Oops, that was out of frame. But for those of you watching, there's two hooks right here, and you can adjust it. And then on the back too, where like if I've had a lot of people too buy the belt as they're on their journey to get in shape. And so they start larger and they don't need to buy a new belt as they lose weight. And, you know, retail's a little bit more than the average belt on the market at 115, but it's like buy once, cry once. I probably spent like $1,600 on different gun belts when I was getting started, trying to figure out what's going to work for me. And a lot of them failed after, like relatively quickly, like a year or two in. And so I was like, I don't want to have Apple or Ford's marketing plan with planned obsolescence where this belt is going to fail after some time. I want you to buy it and I never want to hear from you again. Unless you want another
exactly.
color. Or something. I don't know.
But actually, yes, that's a really good point. That's a good reason to buy yeah. another one. I love how thin it is. I've noticed, like, I'm not going to shout out any companies, but I have definitely put on a concealed carry belt before, and it has added so much bulk that it, like, almost defeats the purpose, in my opinion.
Yep.
And typically the belts have been geared towards men, but this one, and by geared towards men, I mean, like, my first gun belt was a Bigfoot gun belt. It is, like, a thick boy, and like my husband loves it for his paramedic work. Sure. Not that he carries on the job. That's none of the podcast's business, but it is like for me when I'm wearing like a flowy top and I'm like adding a belt, like that is not the most ideal belt. And it's stiff all around and it feels like someone is like crushing my L5S1 vertebrae. Yeah, it is like so uncomfortable. Nobody wants that. And especially not
with,
me.
With the elastic, I just measured it right now. It's a third of an inch.
Wow.
And that's it. That is the total thickness of the belt in the front. It's it's a quarter of an inch front width right here. So it keeps it nice and thin. Actually, I've never measured that before. Podcast first. Nice. Hunter Constant T-belt first.
Do a highlight. Exactly. Yeah. We'll do a highlight of this little snippet and we'll throw Brittany's video in and all of that can be found on the She Shield socials. So
boom. And code Gentle Slope. And Gentle Slope. I think I did it with Riley, so we gotta do it. We're gonna do rock, ooh, paper,
okay.
scissors.
Yes, let's say. Okay, I'm ready. Yeah, I'm trying to think of what you never mind. Okay.
I think I forget because like
you did best of two.
Two out of three.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think of what the discount's going to be. I think we're going to play for this. I'll represent free shipping. You'll represent. Okay. This is going to be a first for the size of a discount code for a podcast or YouTube, 10% off.
They usually do five. That's so we'll do awesome. 10. Awesome. Okay? Yay. Okay.
And it's fun for rock, paper, scissors. So
that sounds great.
Right. Two out of three. We'll go on shoots like rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Okay.
And I represent free shipping. You represent 10% off. This is for your listeners. No pressure.
This is so much pressure. Oh my God. Pressure. Okay.
Get your
stage plan. You're like that guy that asked my stage plan. Exactly. I knew you were going to go there. Okay. All right. Okay.
You ready? Do you want me to tell you what I'm going to play?
Wait, is there a lag?
Well, hold on. Do this. I think we'll be fine.
Okay. Ready? Okay.
Yep. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Oh, damn. Ooh. It. Wait, best of three?
Best of three. Yeah. Best of three.
Had rock, he had paper. Okay.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Ready? They can't see us. That helps. All right.
Exactly.
Okay.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Oh, hell yeah. Cool. I have rock, he has scissors. Okay.
All right. 1-1. Going into the final round. Here we go. I'll let you count it off.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, rock.
Rock.
Paper.
Scissors.
Shoot. Oh, nice.
Cool. She wins.
Whoop, whoop. She got scissors. You 10% off.
I have paper. 10% off Constantine carry belts.
Whoop, whoop.
And for the competition shooters out there, we also have one with Velcro now. So you can have one belt for your inner belt and your EDC belt. Mm.
I think I did see that. That's awesome. I feel bad I didn't think of that, but okay.
I don't know when this is coming out, but I should have inventory by then. I'm super sold out. We redesigned some of it. I know my belts constantly go through updates as people make suggestions.
I love that. I was about to actually ask how you handle feedback. This episode launches in 2 weeks. So
okay, perfect. I should have everything in by then. I'm the only person here. I read every email, I package every belt, I do everything besides actually make the belts. And so I see every single email that comes in. I read like every DM. I've gotten on FaceTime with people on Instagram to help them with stuff going on. But like I'm here for the people
That's awesome.
Like some people have needed like sizes swapped out and stuff like that because there's some overlap in sizes.
Yeah.
But like I I'm not here to retire off the belt. I just want more people concealed carrying. And so like if we can just get more belts out there, I'm happy. And I'm here to like answer stuff. And so a lot of the suggestions a lot of the upgrades on the belt have come from user suggestions. Cause like obviously I made the belt, I'm like, this thing's great. It's the best.
Amazing.
We've gone through about like 5 iterations so far since in like a year and a half.
Yeah.
And so as more people wear it and stuff like that, like we've had I've got like a graveyard of some other belts where things have failed, but like we've changed how we stitch things. We've changed some of the materials. We've changed some of the geometry of the hardware and stuff like that. Like we switched to, if you have like an OG Gen 1, like we switched this slider. It used to get caught on your belt loops and stuff, but it's all from users of the belts. And like, I just like hearing about it. I'll catch myself late on YouTube just watching some random YouTube video that someone posted on the belt, and I'll sit there and watch the whole thing and then comment on
That's awesome.
And, like, if they got questions or whatever, like, I'm here. I'm a real person. This isn't some weird large corporation or something. Like, it's literally just me.
Ooh, so, yeah, that would be hard. I don't know. It'd be hard to like navigate that, but it sounds like you have you handle it really well.
I just talk to everybody. Like how I talk to everybody else. It's there's no veil over anything. And if you post a really creative review, it might lead you to getting a free belt.
Oh, hell yeah.
There's someone who literally wrote a literary creative novel that knocked my socks off. And if you guys go find it, if you go to my website, open up reviews and just control F Terry Crews, the review will come up. And it's a hell of a read. It's a good one.
Terry Crews, as in like from Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Yes. Yep. Big pecs moving.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the visual. I didn't know pecs moving was. So
I can't. I don't have that connection. I can't do it myself. So
I can't either. Just kidding. If you're listening and you want to see this episode, probably kind of a late time to do this, go to the YouTube channel. We post full video content now, and you'll be able to see Hunter do what he just did. So
yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it's worth it. Do it. As far as topics go on this podcast, thank you for explaining all that, by the way. I feel grateful to have that inside scoop, especially as someone who is going to thoroughly test your belt out. I actually want to do a video on YouTube on like comparing all of the belts I've ever used for EDC.
Love it.
I need to do it. I'm kind of jumping into YouTube now as like my major platform because I like how in depth I can get with stuff. I'm trying to find that balance of like viewer retention and depth. That's something I'm learning as I go. But I'll let you know when that's coming out and I'll be able to like give some more feedback there.
Please do.
I'm sure it'll all be amazing, but you know, I'll be honest with you. Don't worry. So no with that biases. Said, okay, you got it. Amazing. Okay. So we didn't really get to talk about concealed carry much. I just dropped my Sharpie. As far as how you balance training, I want to make sure to ask you this before we end the episode, how you balance competition training and concealed carry. I'd love to know that because you're one of those people online where I feel like I see a really good mixture of both types of content. I don't scroll as much as I used to. I've tried to not do that as much for mental health. Right. Yeah. Create, don't consume. But it's tough because you want to support your friends. You want to stay in the know.
And I want to see what's trendy, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. You don't want to get left behind. Yeah, for sure. Like I did with your belt. I was like, I got to get my hands on one of these. So with all that said, how do you go about balancing your concealed carry training and competition training? And what would you suggest for someone who's kind of branching into both worlds right now at the same time?
I would say I like carrying relatively the same gun that I compete with. Like today I got a little micro compact. We got a little Smith & Wesson Equalizer, little sub.
Oh, nice.
This is my favorite subcompact gun. I think it's super underrated.
Oh, cool.
Dropped a YouTube video, Hunter Guns in YouTube.com. But
Hell yeah. We'll link it.
Honestly, the number one thing you need for your concealed carry is just your draw and your reloads. So you can do that in dry fire. You don't necessarily need to go to the range to live fire that. And so as long as you're getting reps on your competition gear or your competition gun, and you have that understanding, like building that master understanding of what that gun's doing, you're working on your concealed carry. And so it's a bridge of confidence between the two. The biggest thing is just figuring out how to draw and how you're going to carry your gun, especially if you're carrying in a bunch of different positions. And like for me, the gun's in the same spot every single time. I carry appendix, it's 12 o'clock. Every time it's the same draw stroke, but you know, if I'm in a crop top or something and it's a little bit higher, you know, your arm's going to be winged out higher to grab that gun, or like if you have it in a purse or something. And the biggest thing is just practicing how you're going to get your gun out and ready to shoot. As soon as the gun's out, as soon as both hands are on the gun, it's the same. There's no difference. Mm. And like with, I know like with this gun, the grip angle is a little bit different than my M&P, and it's thinner. So I don't have as much hand on the gun. So I have to really focus on building a connection between the tips of my support hand fingers and my support hand palm. And it's just like a little nuanced thing though, right? Where I'm like, I've shot this gun. If you have the ability and the budget to, I'll like to try to shoot this gun at least once a week, ideally more than that. Even if it's just like 3 or 4 mags, just to make sure everything's working on it, make sure your dot's on, your battery, it's lubed, you know, you're up to speed on it. Cause I've picked up some people's carry guns and there's literally like dust inside of the gun because they're not shooting it. They just carry it and that's it. So getting some reps on your gun, if you can do it every week at a minimum, probably every month, like make it a priority to go shoot like at least 50 or 100 rounds every month. So like you understand where it's at and that your zero's on and so forth. But as far as actual like concealed carry drills and things, I don't really think there's a huge distinction between that and what you're practicing for competition. The biggest thing is just overcoming your draw and overcoming your reload, just because you have a garment to clear or you have to get it out of something off body or something like that. So, and you can dry fire that. It costs zero money. So you can be at home. My favorite dry fire is what I like to call lazy dry fire, which is putting on Netflix and drawing to characters on the television. Make sure your blinds are closed because your neighbors will think you're a crazy person.
100%.
Ask me how I know that, but,
no way.
You can go through the motions of your draw and clearing your garment and building your grip without any ammo in your gun. It's free reps.
Of course.
And so like, as of now, I'm not necessarily going to the range and like necessarily practicing concealed carry. I'll touch on my draw. Or there's some days where, or like spring steel last year, I forgot my competition belt and just shot from concealed carry the whole match. And that was impromptu. Showed up at the range like 5:45, no belt. And I had my belt though. I had my concealed carry belt. And so full holster, M&P still. And I finished like second overall at the match. And so like the biggest thing is like a draw is not going to win you a match. So my concealed carry draw, it's fluid, but it's relatively slow to compare to some of like the expert appendix draw people out there. And so there's guys that can get the gun out in like, you know, 3/4 of a second. I don't think it's necessarily that important. It's a good skill to have, but realistically, if you're in a concealed carry position or situation, a sub-second draw is probably not necessary. And if it is, like you found yourself in a terrible situation, you were not like aware of your surroundings of what's going on. But I can't think of many times where like a sub-second draw is crucial for the average citizen. You know, like people could argue for law enforcement, it's a bit different where like things can happen very fast, but generally speaking, we should be trying to get ourselves out of the situation and not being engaging in gunfire as a general citizen. Like majority of times you're going to have an opportunity to get yourself out of that situation. And then if you do have to take action, there's usually time for you to like draw your gun, get behind cover and like have a smart plan or decision in place and just like being aware of your surroundings of what's going on, you know? And so
absolutely,
and I'm sure people in the comments can argue one point or another, but I'm just speaking in generalities here where like,
of course
our goal should be not to get into an engagement. And if we are in an engagement, your first goal should be to get to cover instead of being like, I've prepared my whole Instagram career for this moment and then do a fast little draw. But
exactly.
Either way. So yeah, just go out and practice. Just go shoot your gun. Be purposeful in your practice. Everything translates. And like, go if your local range allows it, shoot matches from concealed. I've done that too. Mm-hmm. And just to get reps on it. Yeah. And it's
actually so much fun. I needed that at one point. I was kind of like, what is my purpose here at USPSA shooting from outside the waistband. And then I saw Tessa Booth do it from her Filster Enigma, and I was like, well, that's how I carry. So once I like showed up and did that, I had so much fun. And then it kind of like reignited my enjoyment for it. I'd taken a break after I got out of med school into my master's. I then like got married and renovated a house and like had this big break. Well, and then I was kind of like, oh, I don't want to like, I don't know. Why do I want to shoot again? So that kind of like brought that all back up for me. So if anyone's in that position right now, getting a master's, getting married, renovating a house, just kidding, or in just any spot where you're like, what am I doing? And I want to mix it up. Highly recommend doing that.
Yeah. It's been great. Cool. And it builds confidence where, you know, like any situation and I have my gun on me, like I've made 400 yard shots with my M&P, and not saying that like in a defensive situation, I'm going to shoot 400 yards because an attorney could probably argue you could get out of the situation before you need to make a 400 yard shot. But like, I know with my gun that I'm capable of making that shot, or like I'll do 50 yard plate racks, and just understanding like what I need to do to get a 50 yard shot compared to like a 3 yard shot, you know, and things like that. Yeah. So just, it's building confidence more than anything else. And so, again, it's just like an extension of your body. And so the more you shoot, I also recommend like carrying a gun similar to what you compete with, to a certain extent. Like, you know, don't expect to be proficient with a stub nose revolver if you're shooting a full size steel frame striker fire gun. Like, get reps on those guns. Don't let them collect dust. And like, even carrying like the subcompact, like this is completely different than my M&P 9, but I still shoot this gun regularly. So I know how it shoots, how it recoils, like, you know, just everything about it. And so, just get out there and shoot more than anything else.
I like it. Hell yeah.
Oh,
some
cool
mini reps on the episode. Awesome. Hunter, this has been incredible. Thank you so much.
I could probably talk for like another hour and a half.
Oh, I know you could. And I would love that.
I know you could too.
Another way we could do this is you come back on sometime.
I think that's probably the best solution.
Yeah. Reflect on this and be like, damn, I wish I had talked about this. And then just like take a little mental note, and then feel free to come back on anytime. I
love it.
I used to be in the mindset of like, no, it needs to be like different people. And then like, I did a part two with someone one time, and it was like, we got to revisit part one. I got to like do some research in the meantime, ask new questions. Mm-hmm. And like, it's kind of like shooting a match the second day or the same stages. It's like a nice little, fresh perspective with the same people. I'm rambling. All of that to say, thank you for coming on. Please come on for another time if you're willing. Yes. Yeah. And I will be down to Arizona soon. I miss Brittany. We got to hang out at SHOT Show, and
we talked about it then too. Down here.
Hell yeah, absolutely. And Tessa and all of them. So, so many people, just check off those boxes. Cool. Anyway, thank you again.
Yeah.
I will link everything you mentioned today in the show notes. So fear not, if you're listening and you're totally fine. That's usually how it is. If you're listening and you want to quickly access anything, the show notes are the notes below the title. Before we go, Hunter, is there anything you would like to leave the listeners with?
Go shoot matches, learn your gun. Don't be afraid to have fun.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. I love it. I love it. One day I'm going to do a compilation of all of these. So I love that. Yeah, working on that. I guess my husband's going to be the one to have to do that. Sorry, Caleb.
Caleb.
Right? I know. I'm thinking at the 100th episode, we'll do something special like that. So almost there. All right. So everyone listening, thank you. If you don't mind, really quickly, take a second to go and rate this podcast wherever you're listening. That is how She Shield will get discovered. That is the little piece that you can add and give back. Please, please, please take a second to do that on Spotify. It's just stars.
Five stars.
Yes.
I'm commanding you for 5 stars.
Thank you. We're at 5. At one point we had like 4.9 and I was like, shit. And then we got back up to 5. I wish we could get actual feedback and not just stars, but for now it's stars. Yeah. So let's do that. And then if you're interested in highlights of this episode, of course, the whole thing is a highlight, but little short snippets on social. We are at SheShieldPod. Elisa Hamilton, incredible media manager of the podcast, makes all of those little shorts. So hop on there to see those and go to YouTube for the full version. All resources mentioned are linked as I said, we have our gentle slope code to get 10% off of your Hunter Constantine concealed carry belt.
Yes.
And if you or anyone you know is a firearms owner experiencing a crisis, you can look into holdmyguns.org. They're an organization that will connect you with the local gun shop or FFL to store your firearm for you in a time of need. The link to access their website and to find a local storage partner is available in the show notes. Thank you for listening. In the meantime, stay safe and stay vigilant. SOG knives began with the mission to reproduce the original SOG Bowie knife used by the Special Ops Unit MACV SOG. Today, SOG knives are carried with confidence into the most demanding situations. Forged out of tradition, hardened in the field, honed for you, whether you're protecting others or leading an epic hunting expedition, tackling one of life's everyday challenges, or facing your most extreme conditions yet, lead the way with SOG. What began as a single commemorative model soon became a full line of innovative tools, field proven by U.S. Special Forces, even honored as the Navy SEAL knife of choice. I've personally carried SOG knives since I added knives to my everyday carry setup, and have yet to be disappointed by their design and durability. Their craftsmanship is rooted in legacy of honor and courage, and is unmatched. With SOG by your side, you are equipped to lead the way, no matter the challenge. Join the ranks of those who dare to push beyond limits and define their own legacy, and use code SHESHIELD to support the pod and to save. That's SHESHIELD at checkout.